Phoebe and Harris.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
To get in the psyche of a hitter is probably a place where you don't want to go at any stage. So to get him out of that environment, not worry about his numbers, and, you know, focus on some adjustments, both, you know, physical and certainly approach to be able to improve some things. So, yeah, we look forward to this opportunity to do it, and he's on board, and we think good things will come out of it.
That was White Sox general manager Chris Getz talking about somebody who we're trying to figure out how they fit in, not only on the team, but just in the organization right now, in Colson Montgomery, who's being sent to Arizona because he had been struggling at the AAA level. Since being promoted to Charlotte in 2024, he had been batting .204 in 153 games. He had a back issue at spring training that caused him to be sent back to Charlotte. I can't figure out where he's supposed to be right now. And unfortunately, I don't think he can either.
Well, that's not really what he's supposed to be doing. That's the organization's job to figure out what exactly he needs. And I guess this is the approach they decided to go with, getting him individual instruction back in Arizona, which is also the site of the last time he was productive, which was Arizona Fall League. I think the issue here is this is the guy that came into the season as the number 4 White Sox prospect and the number 36 overall prospect by MLB Pipeline. And the fact that he hasn't done anything of note besides that Arizona Fall League time since the start of last season, that gives me pause overall. When people were talking about him in spring training as, hey, he's going to be the opening day shortstop, that's what it's looking like, I was like, based off what? And they're like, well, you know, he had a good Arizona Fall League. I was like, is that the measuring stick now? And I get that he's supposed to be advancing because of his age, how long he's been in the minor leagues. But at some point, you've got to have production that matches the merit of a call-up, no matter how highly thought of you are as a prospect.
Yeah, he had done that, though. That was the thing. The reason they talked about him the way they did at spring training was because that was the indication that he was making the turn. And I understand you're hurt, but at some point I wonder about diminishing returns for some of these guys in the minor leagues. It's not like he's taking somebody's spot who's a big deal on this team. Like, I hate to be so blunt about it, but your shortstop had been DFA'd by you in January, and you bring him back. So that's how you feel about this. Now, people will say, yes, that Jacob Anaya is a defensive first shortstop. Yes, okay, sure, but that's another way of saying he doesn't provide offense. You know, that's an unfortunate situation. The reality is that, to me, this says more about the entire organization right now and where they are than I think even just the individual's path. Where's the development for somebody like this?
When you say he had turned
the corner, where's the help? Where is the evaluation? Why did it fail so badly? What about big league camp was such an issue where you're now having to go all the way back to Arizona during the season?
Well, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves in terms of the 43 strikeouts and 103 plate appearances this season in AAA. But what
I know what the numbers are, but why are the numbers the way they are?
Because he hasn't been good. I don't know if it's his back injury.
Yes, he hasn't been good.
No, I'm saying I don't know if it's his back injury and an extension of that or whatever. What I'm saying is I didn't see anything last year that said I agree with your point about the development has not been there, clearly, because he has not taken a step forward. My point was, what step forward did he ever take to say he should be on the major league roster besides it's a bad major league roster, so he should be on the roster? I think that's my overall point. He hit .214 last year, and you don't have to make this a batting average thing. You could say he slugged .381. That's like his OPS was .710, but he wasn't good last year in the minor leagues. That was my point. He just wasn't good. So the question we should be asking is, who's not getting the development done, or is this a Colson Montgomery specific problem?
We could also ask the same question about Matt Shaw. Like, which one of these two hot prospects, infield prospects, Matt Shaw or Colson Montgomery is going to end up being a better major league player. I don't know.
The Cubs did stuff last year.
Was that?
Matt Shaw did stuff last year in the minor leagues.
Right.
He was good.
My issue is the Cubs did not lose the most games in major league history last season. They have had prospects that we thought came online, Matt Mervis, and it turns out that they do have talent. They just needed perhaps a change of scenery or a different voice. This is a White Sox team that DFA'd people like Jorge Vera, who had significant value with the team. And this is since Chris Getz has become the GM. And you DFA him and you get nothing. Not only are you setting your farm system back because you've decided major prospects are now graded no prospect, you also came in saying you wanted to develop people and bring in tools. And he's talked about some of the advances that the scouts and maybe at the minor league level they've also made on this team. But this is an organizational failure to have something like this happen, either in the ranking or in the production or in the lack of getting him what he needs. And what concerns me is the red flag here speaks to a bigger issue that was the reason this man, Chris Getz, got hired in the first place.
You were told that he was going to fast forward things because he was already familiar with the organization. But I was like, wait, what was his job before? That didn't fit at the time to me. But I was like, I guess that's what they're going to do.
It's not just that. It wasn't just the timeline issue. It was also the fact that he said stuff like, I don't like our team. And when he was saying that, he meant like the makeup of how they're getting from the minor leagues and the development to the big leagues.
And he was in charge of...
Precisely. That's, yes. Again, another thing I was going to point out is that he was in charge of that. So when this happens, this is an indictment of you as well. You know, Brian Bannister, we've talked a lot about what he's brought as a positive to the organization and how he can figure out how players fit in on the team. You get a guy like Eric Fetty, you know, you develop him, you take a risk on him, and you're able to somewhat trade him for some value. But, you know, the return is arguable at that point. But the point is, like, that is a good example of what you can do at this point in your situation as a team and an organization. But there is a lot of truth to be told here as to the failure of this one individual and the lack of being able to develop or something happening. Is this a change of scenery situation for him? Either way, to have the major league grade of such a high prospect when these are people evaluating the minors en masse, this is an issue.
It ruins what teams that are 100 loss teams need, and that is light at the end of the tunnel, something to attach your fandom to, something to attach your hope to. And guess what? We all obsessed. You know, you talked about like why his name is so out there. It's because we all attached ourselves to Colson Montgomery. We said, wow, Colson Montgomery, this guy's going to be great. When are they going to call him up? Is he going to break spring with the team? And then all of a sudden he starts to take this slide down, and then the slide becomes precipitous. And now we're in a place of, oh man, if this guy is not good, where's the hope coming from? Because in all teams, like you go back to the Cubs when they sucked and they were losing 100. At least you had draft picks that you were looking forward to. You had light at the end of the tunnel. Most teams do. The Sox have lost back-to-back 100. They've had back-to-back 100 loss seasons, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
And they're playing host to a team coming up over the weekend that had three back-to-back 100 loss seasons in the Astros, and they took advantage of the 3-1-1s. Now you can't do that.
It's a great example. That's the best example.
That is the example, but here's the other part of it is, yeah, they had guys grade no prospect too. And they had high names like Delino DeShields at one point, I think, was graded no prospect. You know, and he of course was able to get back in. John Singleton's a great story with them. You know, he was a focal point of a massive trade, and then ends up you know, the Hunter Pence trade, and then ends up, you know, making it with the big league team 10 years later.
Great call.
10 years later. That's not the point. The point is, you don't have very many of these guys in your organization.
Yeah.
Edgar Caro gets called up. Edgar Caro's the product of the trade that involved Renato Lopez and Lucas Giolito. They were products of previous trades of big league talent. Where's your growth when it comes to people who are in your system?
Chase Meidroth, I guess you got it.
Meidroth was the product of a trade.
Kyle Teal, product of a trade.
Yeah.
That's my point. Like, some of these, you have to draft and be able to develop these individuals. And the GM that is in the chair right now was hired to do that.
I think the point about the draft, that actually makes sense. Like, where are the homegrown prospects, not guys that you acquired from casting off? Although the Eric Fetty is a very good example of the things that they should be doing in this time. Sign as many guys that you know you can flip at the deadline.
And listen, Sean Burke is a good example of developing talent. Like, I've loved how they view pitching as an organization. I've loved how they develop it. But on the other side of this, I feel bad for this individual. I feel bad for Colson Montgomery. I feel bad for the whole situation. But worse than that, I feel bad for the organization. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm also thinking of the Sun-Times sports cover that came out. And it's a picture of Luis Robert on the ground. And it says 2024 was the worst ever. But unfortunately, 2025 is feeling a lot like it. And that's what you don't want. You know, I know what it's like to cover 100 lost teams back to back. And ultimately, there is some improvement. I know what it was like to cover this White Sox team when they were rebuilding and there was improvement.
Did you cover the Astros? Is that you?
Yes.
Did, oh, that the back-to-back?
But, yeah, but okay. Also, Tim Anderson, you know, at the time was a good indication of the team being on the upswing. Not only did they call him up, but you saw the game slow down for him in incredible ways. Jose Abreu was still a cornerstone of this team, giving you his best years. There were other pieces to it that made it work.
Moncada. I mean, I know that was a trade.
Product of a trade.
Pretty shrewd trade. It felt like it at the time.
Well, and that's it. But yeah, they still wanted to make those guys come online. And I don't know. I don't know why this upsets me so much. But I think it's just, this is an indication of the health of the organization or minor league development, too.
Was Gurriel a Houston draft pick?
Yes. Okay. He was an international bonus pool.
Okay. I have healthy fear of all the Gurriels, just like the Alous. No, any
that's
family.
Fair.
Yuli is
fair.
40 yeah. and still a threat at the bat.
Scary.
Like, still a threat at the plate.
How many Gurriels are there? There's at least two Gurriels.
There's, I think, three.
They scare, all of them scare me.
Well, I think when you look at the White Sox specifically right now, you kind of have to take a step back so you can get a wider view. The problem is, when I take a step back, I see a wider view of more of the same.
I mean, but that's the, you know, it's, if you look at the Sun-Times sports page today, that's the indication as well. But either way, when you're talking about the why, when you're finding the whys, and I mean to say that as a trigger on purpose.
Matt Nagy, yes.
This is an example of what isn't happening that needs to.
Wait and see is the only thing I can say at this point, because we're waiting for that next wave of guys to come up.
Here's the thing. You can say that about literally every segment in our show, wait and see.
No, no.
We're going to wait and see what happens tonight with the Cubs. We're going to wait and see what happens with the
no,
Bears.
No, no, but I'm saying, when I talk about the Cubs, I'm talking about specific things that I want to see. With this wait and see, it's when I ask, what do I want to see? They're not changing anything within this organization tonight.
I'm worried that we aren't the only observers in this, that people who should be taking action to circumvent these problems
within the organization, you're saying,
like, do they need more people? Do they need somebody else on
or
this?
Do they need better people?
Do they know how to sign players other than Andrew Benintendi, who did homer last
because
night?
Here's what concerns me is if this guy goes to another team or something, you know, and
it's good.
chances are if you sell low on him, for example, and you don't get anything in return,
yeah,
you know, that's what you don't want. That is an indictment of an organization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if your prospects fail and you don't have somebody else behind him that everybody is getting excited about, then that's a real problem. It's a confused organization. It's, you know, and you can't lose back-to-back 100 games in a season and not have something to look forward to.
Well, either way, I hope I see the day where he's up at the big league level.
Yuli Gurriel was DFA'd yesterday? Yes! I don't have to be so scared.
Until somebody else picks him up.
Until there's another Gurriel that comes along. I don't know how many Gurriels
you're
are
right
out
about
there.
That, though. Yeah, it's, you know, it's strong genes in the
seriously,
team Gurriel.
There
yeah.
is no doubt about it. Alomars, Alous, they all scare me. The baseball families frighten me. The Boones, man.
By the way, I want to hear this story that you alluded to with Mike Florio. You want to do it at halftime?
That sounds great.
Next, it is Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi. Halftime on The Score.